We are continuing our series in the book of Chronicles. So if you can open up your Bible to 1 Chronicles 10. Our Bible's there beneath your seat. Bible. I will be moving around. I will not have any Bible passages up on the PowerPoint. So turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 10. I'll also move to 1 Samuel. And then go into Leviticus as well. Relatively large readings. Hopefully, turn your Bible to those portions. Again, 1 Samuel, Leviticus, and we'll start 1 Chronicles, chapter 10. The book of Chronicles, as you some are aware of, is somewhat similar to 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. We get the word chronicle. The Greek word we have is chronos. And chronos, we will hear this word as in chronological, is where we get our English word, chronological order. So when we think of chronos, the translation of this will be something to the effect of time. When we say chronological order, we're talking about some sort of logical order of time. Simply put, it's a historical book. Now, if we take the overview or some sort of chart and as we place up here, we see 1 and 2 Samuel, we see 1 and 2 Kings. Now, if you're reading this, if you're reading the Bible, if you're reading Bible like most people like to read the Bible, like most books, left to right, it's really kind of confusing. Because you go to 1 and 2 Samuel, and then 1 and 2 Kings goes back to, as if it's going back to the beginning. It's kind of like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right? It talks about the good tides or the good news of Jesus Christ, and it says it beginning, back and forth. It goes to Matthew, goes back to Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The same thing here with 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Chronicles. However, 1 and 2 Samuel, as you see here, focuses more just on King Saul and King David. There's a lot of importance when we look at all these things, because when you start to read it, you start to understand. And I'll be honest with you, I want you guys to understand that when preachers or pastors come up, hope and pray that you take God's word. You invest in it yourself. You not take what the man says. The Holy Spirit dwells. So all we're doing is giving you some sort of overview. Now, when you look at 1 and 2 Kings, it talks about King David again, but then it talks about the northern and the southern kingdom. Now, the northern kingdom, as we mentioned in the past, as we're talking about this series, all of their kings were they good or evil? They were all. And the southern kingdom was back and forth. They had good, few good, but mostly evil. And finally, we get to 2 Chronicles. It says here, as you see up in the PowerPoint, it King David, it talks about King David's death, and then only of the southern kingdom. Now, what is the importance of this is that the writer, specifically, are priests. What the priests are trying to point out here, the big picture of everything, is that they want to focus on the good. Not the northern kingdom, but the southern kingdom. Now, I hope and pray when you read this passage. I hope and pray when you read the Bible, especially when we read this. Now, last week we talked about Mother's Day. I did my best to talk about how wonderful our women are, how meek. Now, today we're going to be talking about Saul and how evil he was. You take this passage. You are, one word I remember hearing yesterday in our men. Condition yourself. Negative that comes out of this, walk out of that door. You hear all the negative trying to teach us. What we're about to hear is how evil Saul is. Most of us will gather, hey, I remember. What he's trying to say, that is what God is. We have the big picture. It's very positive. It's very encouraging. How fulfilling a passage in Psalms 37. Once young and seek you, so to speak. That's what we should look at. So now, We're going to read the passage, but like I said, you're going to hear a lot of negative, positive aspects of it. As we read God's Word, we all stand. 1 Chronicles chapter 2. Now the Philistines fought against Israel. The Israelites fled before them. Many fell dead on Mount Gilboa. The Philistines were in hot pursuit of Saul and his sons, and they killed his sons, Jonathan, Abinadab, Malchi, Shua. The fighting grew fierce around Saul. When the archers overtook him, they wounded him. Saul said to his armor bearer, "Put your sword and run me through. Of these uncircumcised fellows come and abuse me." But his armor bearer was terrified and would not do it. So Saul took his own sword, fell on it. When the armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he too fell on his sword and died. So Saul and his three sons died, and all his house died together. All the Israelites in the valley saw the army had fled and that Saul and his sons had died. They abandoned their towns and fled, and the Philistines came and occupied them. The next day, Philistines came to strip the dead. They found Saul and his sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. They stripped him and took his head and his armor and sent messengers throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim the news among their idols and their people. His armor in the temple of the gods and hung up his head in the temple of Dagon. When all the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all their valiant men went and took the bodies of Saul and his sons and brought them to Jabesh. Then they buried their bones under the great tree of Jabesh. Fasted 7 days. Saul died because he was unrighteous. Not keep the word of the Lord, and even consulted a medium. Did not inquire of the Lord. The Lord put him. Son of Jesus. Be seated. Now, this is a wonderful passage. It's basically, bottom line, as we know, we see King Saul, who is the first king of all Israel, both northern and southern kingdom, first. And God was not really too pleased with him, what he was doing. In the world. As a result, he's in this going back to Mount Gilboa, this big old plain of Jabesh. He goes back to Mount Gilboa and he basically dies. Because how does he kill himself? He kills himself. Now, when we look at this passage, certainly we can look at the whole big picture. The small picture, as many of us will look, we're very keen understanding things in life that pertain to us. Like, how is this going to affect me? What is this about this passage that I want to understand? And one of the big key questions that may be controversial is, God talks a lot about, and God doesn't talk about it. I want to know what happens to suicide. Preach something on suicide. This is not a passage. You could focus on that and get some sort of doctrinal view and what theological view God has upon that. The big picture is here. The relationship with Saul. And we're about to say today. The picture. To get hung up on one particular passage. But look at the big picture here. Why does he die? Again, in verse, in the end of that chapter, verse 13. Saul died. Why? Because. Now you and I are going to die because of something. There's no question. That's so unwelcoming. I don't like to hear that stuff. Death is not something that it's not a natural perspective, and it's to have perspective. So when we hear of death, it's kind of like, don't preach on that. That's not something that's very wrong. Hear this. Recognize this now. You and I, no matter what we have sinned, as a result, we are going to die because of something. But we look at Saul and see now we're saying, okay, well, you know, I feel this cloud of negative. Listen, say there's something positive. Remember that. You struggle through this passage. What is this about this passage? It has some positive. Now he dies again because two things. He was unfaithful. See, here's the objection. Saul died because two reasons. First, he was unfaithful to the Lord, not keeping the word of the Lord. This is what his passage is saying. I can't say, well, he probably committed adultery or probably said a bad word, and that's why he's going to die. The passage specifically says he died because. He's going to die because. Richard Tice Del Rosario, born September 1st, 1971, that's me. And whatever that time comes, you died because. The Lord has that in the book of life. Now, we all have some sort of understanding. Because of your sin, you're dying. You will die. You know this or not, you and I all have reason. It's not very positive. Go back to that passage. Be strengthened. Just keep that sort of on the hook. First, he was unfaithful to the Lord. Secondly, consulted a medium while not inquiring of the Lord. Basically, dealing with some sort of fortune teller. Well, I don't do that stuff. Apply some of that stuff. And see what that's like. Might be careful because we're not too far off with some of this stuff. It's all the perfect. There's some stuff around us, what do we know? So, and by the way, if you looked at this, God's to and fro. Fall. Talking about the fall of Saul here. It's to and fro. Positive part comes up. To and fro just basically here and then back. So we're talking about the fall of Saul. Now, if you turn to 1 Samuel, again, I'm going to skip around. Just listen to the story. Here God tells Samuel, tell Saul, prophet, Samuel's a prophet, what you're supposed to do. He says this, 1 Samuel chapter 4. Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint his people Israel. Listen now, this is Samuel telling him. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish them what they did to Israel when they waylaid. Go attack the Amalekites. Totally destroy all their that belongs. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, sheep, camels, and donkeys. He says, of course, he doesn't do this. He doesn't annihilate everything. In verse 9 it says, but Saul and the army spared Agag. Agag is the king of Amalekites. And the best of the sheep and cattle, fat calves and the lambs, everything. These, but everything spies. Just picture, do wrong here, gave him a command. He said, look, be obedient. This is what I want you to do. Now, you can look up a lot of blogs on the passage. You can look up a lot of blogs on the Old Testament. He said, you know what? You're kills people, even little babies. By this whole passage, when you look at this, God's going to say one of these days, he's going to say, look, I'm not going to ask you, this is what's going to happen. He's a monarch. That's how he works. This is it. I created everything. I created it's Nilo. Your thoughts are out of nothing. I made this as I wish. You're sitting there on judgment day, and everyone's sitting on judgment day, bowed, confessing. And say, look, the righteous here, the unrighteous. I'm not going to go, well, I want the pretty ones here, or the smelling good ones, tall ones, or the wealthy ones over here, and say those who are righteous over here, unrighteous over here. That's how he's going to look at it. So cute. Look, he's just going to part it in such a way. He's a God of justice. So when you look at that, don't say, well, God, you're God. Just God. He's a God who's saying, look, unrighteous, righteous. Give everybody plenty of time to figure this out. So Saul comes up and says, you know what? I don't know. I like King Agag. Play chess together, golf together with the sticks we have. I like him. And you know what? I like the fat. I like that. God likes to smell it. He likes it. So I want to keep it. And God says, listen, he's not listening to me. He's not. You shall die for it. See, I'm a just God. That's all. It's kind of mean. Just God. It's coming. Now we ask ourselves, well, you know what? We're all, I'm totally honest with you, I think we all are built this way, maybe because of the sinful nature in seven, or the self that we have. We all are somewhat narcissistic. We want to know how is this going to help. What is this passage going to do? What am I doing? Because I don't deal with mediums, and I haven't heard God's voice. What is it that I want to know? Well, bottom line, say, look, I don't. The Lord says this, he says. To the fat of a calf, he likes it. No, God doesn't like that. He says. So we have to realize that we have to. The question comes, basically, bottom line of us is, do we keep the things God wants us to get rid of? Other things in our life, God says, you know fully well, I want you to remove them. Remember this now. He's not, listen here. And he's like, parent is not yelling and look, no, but yes. Well, on cuenta yan. Get rid of that. There's no purpose in that. You know, it's almost as if, okay, all right, okay, you don't have to get mad. I really don't know what to translate that. You don't know what it means. It just means there's no point in that. Get rid of that. Right? And he's coming and he's, when you're a child, you're like, God is saying, look, son. Also, you know fully well. Now we always fall and go back and back. Goodness, part of this. Some people would ask me, "Hey, I'm struggling with something. Struggling since I was 13, 16, right?" Saying, run to me. God's not, I'm running away. You're mad at me. He's like, no, I'm not. But see, when that kid's 13, 14, that same problem over and over, lying, stealing, whatever, lusting, whatever it may be. Good thing. Because there's people who are 13, 14, 15 over here going, no conviction. I'm going to keep, I don't care. Those people have a problem. You see, God loves. God's saying, look, It's a journey. He's praying for your strength in Psalm 37. Strength upon you. Moses' journey. Now, moving on to the second part. So he dies because he doesn't keep the word. So I ask you, ask us all. The second thing is, dies is because, of course, he consults a medium. Well, not consults a medium. Okay, now, turn to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 30. This, or if you don't know, let's hear this many, many times, or some haven't heard it, so I ask you to open your Bible just because it's not. Chapter 19 says, do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them, Lord your God. Next chapter, Leviticus chapter 20. These two verses are what we call the holy chapters of Leviticus. Purity of it. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6, it says, I will set my face against the person who turns to mediums and spiritists to prostitute himself by following them. His people. So clearly from Leviticus, God is saying, look, don't do King Saul actually does this in 1 Samuel chapter 28. And you can read it. It's kind of a long passage. Saul is trying to deal with Samuel. Now, Saul is the first king. And Samuel was the leader prior. But Samuel was not a king. Prophet. Prophet slash judge. So Samuel was already dead. King Saul says, oh, it's the law not to deal with this fortune tellers, but I need to go. I need to find the spiritist. So he goes out and finds the spiritist and says, hey, can you raise up Samuel? Samuel. Logic understanding. Trouble for this, bottom line. He gets in trouble. And God's like, you need to stop. Logically, of course, I, as family members, I have. I do, clearly, here's the illustration. Clearly, and I'm asking us, so don't pray to the dead. Don't talk to the dead. Don't ask them to come to dreams. I've heard this from different people. It's okay. I said, no, it's not. You don't deal with that. Samuel was a good man, a man of God. Saul was evil, but he said, hey, can you give me that good man and wake him up? You don't even do that. Don't go off and say, hey, I'll ask him to visit me in a dream. Ask your mom to visit you in a dream. Don't ask your dad to visit you if they're already dead. They are asleep. They are spirits. And it's wherever that spirit is. And theologically, people say they're here, they're there. Wherever they may be, they're asleep, as it says in Thessalonians. Don't mess with them. It's a real world. Right now, don't mess with them. Don't talk to them. Don't put food out. Don't put drinks out. Okay? Don't do it. And I know y'all are giggling because y'all go to some restaurant and there's food over here and incense burning. And go, what's that for? Grandma, I'm like, going over here then because I'm not dealing with that. You know, don't deal with it. It's a real realm that many of us have yet to. We're still trying to grasp the cross. We're still trying to grasp the Holy Spirit when there's other spirits that you have to deal with. Don't mess with them. So clearly, last week someone came, right? Said, "Doesn't matter." Well, some voodoo going on, and you know, guys, but some lady spitting out feathers. Out feathers. Here, you stay. You're like, oh. there's this conditioning. Learned it last week. Wonderful nurse told me yesterday. Have law person. Don't you? 1 second, you're not meeting the spirit realm. Just because you don't go to fortune tellers, don't say it. You've seen it. You've seen it already. Somehow, some way. Now I ask myself, what do you mean? Well, I don't know what an IPO is. I listen to them. It has some sort of IPO, and they went, oh. Trading, their shares worth $38. I don't know what it's worth. We say, well, I like Facebook and I like YouTube. It's free, right? Guess what? It's not free. Conditioning on the right side and on the left side. Why do they make their money? Commercials. I'm not knocking commercials, but the more and more you see the Energizer Bunny, over and over again, you go to the grocery store, which is the best Energizer? It's the best. You know it's the best because I've seen it more. The more times I see it, the better it is. It's just like a mayor, I mean, or a congressman. You don't know who they are. You see their name driving down this other vision over and over again. You're conditioned. And you see Facebook over and over again, all these commercials and on TV, whatever it may be, you're being conditioned. Unless you pull out your eyes and cut your ears off and can't smell or talk, then you won't be conditioned. Well, maybe, Helen Keller, I don't know, but maybe you won't have anything. There are shows called Charmed. There are shows called Ghost Whispers. There are shows that are called horror shows that somehow, some way, you and I have probably come and seen or maybe watched in sort of contact with, right? Conditioned. You don't have to go to the fortune. Fortune teller's coming. See? I'm telling you right now, you already are. You're already in trouble. I watch that show. Okay, well, you're going to die. Just let you know. For the wages of sin is death. For all of us, we are on our deathbed, whether you like it. But it's that cross that keeps bringing us. Cross that keeps us going. That's the plan. It says, because you're on your deathbed, have a plan B. Picture of it. Chronicles, I said a little while ago, was written by priests. Now, they could have said, hey, let's... This was after the exile. 70 years, they're in Babylon. They come back. They're trying to rebuild. The priests are going, okay, talk about our history. So what do we talk about? Talk about the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, or both? Why talk about the northern kingdom? They're all evil. So let's talk about the southern kingdom. Did right. And learn not only from the right through the wrong, but also a lot of good ways. The key passage, and you want to actually have it up here, so look with me up here. Key verse I have up here, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. God's to and fro. Now, this is a key passage, and we're like, okay, we see where Samuel messed up. I see what he's done. Look at this, we say, okay, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Foolish thing. Now on, you will be at war. Be at war is not the key thing. The key thing is, throughout the earth, He's going to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed. If they read a wonderful passage, I obviously don't have this in my sermon, but listening to what she had said. I have been young, now I am old, that have not seen the righteous forsaken. Forsake those righteous people. So you got to look at this in a positive way and say, hey, wait a minute. Now, I don't want to doubt spiritism, doing the wrong, not keeping God's word. Yeah, it's going to be tough for you. Yes, God is going to and fro. Now, He's on the throne. Please stop. going to? And he's going, I am not God. He's moving back and forth. Remember Elisha, that story about Elisha and the servant? My eyes, I see. He opens his eyes, and what does he see? He sees chariots of fire. Chariots of fire on his side, during battle, that is, to fight against the enemy. You could see that guy going to and fro. For the righteous. Let me see who it is. Encouraging. He's strengthening as his Holy Spirit. God is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is He. It's not an it. It's He. The Holy Spirit is He. So when you pray the Holy Spirit, pray to Him. Holy Spirit, strengthen my inner man. So we're here today. And the best I can think of, I don't know why, just because I love him so dearly. And one of these days I could see him in basketball or something, or golf. I can look at him and go, no, son, what are you doing? Oh, don't do it like that. Oh, come on. You don't need those little toys. What are you doing? Do it right. Or he can come to Texas and say, good job. It's all right you struck out, son. That's okay, buddy. Hey, keep smiling. You did well. That's awesome, son. Just do it like this. That's the way I think God. To and fro your life and looking at him. Hey, son. Doing well. You're a wonderful person to God. Don't give up. Don't think I'm mad at you. Don't run away. Hey, where are you going? Don't run. Stay here. Dwell with me. Gaze upon my beauty. Meditate upon my word. I want to be with you. Here and say, no. Over here and say, man, I'm here. You're so wonderful. Yeah, I know. I've watched Charmed or whatever, and Facebook is conditioning my brain to go crazy. You know, I don't understand your word fully, but man, thank you for encouraging me. Thank you for not forsaking me when I was young, now that I'm old. Thank you, Lord. I hope and pray. I really do. I want to challenge us, just for everybody just to close their eyes, and however you pray, you can keep your eyes open. You can stand, you can kneel, you can come up here. Just listen to what he's saying. He's saying, I love you. Because he's saying, he loves you. He wants the righteous. He's going to and fro this earth, looking at each one of these seats going. He's saying, yes, you are. This time to stand up. As we hear this song, as we hear Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Meditate not on the person to your left, or your right, or your son, or your daughter, or your mother, or your concern, or your issue, or your problem in life, or even as I stand up here and sing, or to speak, singers. Focus on heaven. Meditate upon his beauty. Gaze upon him. Listen to what he's trying to tell you. Don't run. Come to me. I love you.
Let's can wash away my sin. Okay.
all rise?
Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we do. We love you so much, and we thank you dearly. We pray, Lord Heavenly Father, that as you speak to our hearts, that you may speak to all hearts in this world. And as we go forth, Lord Heavenly Father, may you use us as a vessel, that you may speak to their hearts. Whether we like them or not, Lord, may they know what the blood of Christ is. May they know that you died on the cross for our sins. That you dearly love us. And you will not forsake him, the unrighteous, whether we were young or when we were old. Lord, have your way within our hearts. Have your way within our hearts. Have your way within our hearts. May we delight in you, Lord Heavenly Father, that you may have your way.